This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today I have a guy that I've played basketball against many years here, but also a man of many different trades. I'm very excited to have this guest here. Nikos Cortez is my guest today, and we are going to get into just all the different ventures that he is part of. And Nikos, welcome.
Thank you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. We'll just put that closer
to you.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
And you requested some, you said, if anything, tree huggers, because you're not a drinker.
Yeah, not a drinker.
And I said, that's
THC
cool.
THC drinks.
Yeah, sure. Cannabis. So let's crack these bad boys open. And I've had this one other time. These are the 10 mils, so... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think these are the high octanes. Cheers. Cheers, bud.
Cheers. Appreciate it.
So I met you during basketball because we played men's league basketball against each other.
Yeah.
And I've been playing men's league basketball for about the last 11 years.
Right.
And so that's kind of how we first met.
Yeah.
And then you just reached out to me and said, hey, I love to come on when I'm in town.
Right.
You're in town now. And here we are. So talk about, basketball. Have you been playing that since you were a kid like me?
Yeah, I've been playing since I was about 12 years old.
Okay,
yeah.
I think I was five.
Yeah, he's five.
I was five.
I was 12. I was like, 6 foot at 12? So I was going to play, I guess. People like, they made me play basketball because I was like 6 foot. So.
Well, yeah, what do you got to be? You just walked in, I'm like, man, I think about 6'3", 6'4"?
6'5".
6'5", okay. Yeah, 6'5". Well, I wish I was around that height because 5'10 as a basketball player isn't a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, I know. We played against each other.
Yeah. You know what? I like to box up or like to post up and box out down low. So I'm always about that.
Sure,
but
sure.
I started playing happy hoops when I was little at 5 years old at the YMCA. Mm. Now, are you from Winona originally?
I'm from Chicago.
You're
but I've been in Winona like 10 years. So I'm just like, I'm from Winona.
All right.
So
now you're just a native here.
Winona, yeah. Sure.
Okay. Well, okay. So growing up in Chicago, where are you growing up?
Maybe? I grew up in the South Side, in Roseland area. All through there, like Dalton, Harvey, and stuff.
Okay.
It's a pretty rough neighborhood. Everything pretty much rough, but you know.
So then, how'd you get up here 10 years ago?
My kids kind of ended up moving up here. My mom, I have family members that lived out here and stuff. They connected to related to the Shines that
okay.
out here and stuff. So
I actually played basketball with Shines. Steven Shines.
Yeah.
Do you know him?
Yeah, I know Steve.
Is he still around?
No, I think he's in Texas.
Oh, he's in Texas
now. He's a good dude, yeah.
He played the YMCA Running Rebels with me back when I was in 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I haven't seen him in years.
They're my children, cousins and stuff. So, like, my kids, I moved out here to be close to them and be around their family and stuff. And then
okay.
I ended up following them, like, a year later.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
How you liking it?
I love Winona. You know, I made my career in Winona pretty much.
Okay.
All my shows, events, and made my way out here. So, I love Winona.
All right, so I assume you're a Bulls fan.
No, nah, I'm a Lakers fan.
What?
I said what?
Okay, well, how old are you right now?
I'm 37.
Okay.
It's the Kobe Bryant. It's Kobe Bryant for me, so when I was my favorite player of all time. So
okay.
I've been a Lakers fan since then.
You know, I would have guessed the Bulls just because, well, I'm 38, you're 37, so that was a heyday of Jordan and the Bulls.
Yeah.
And that was like a hip-hop,
I got my thing with that. So when I grew up in Chicago, I was a kid, so when the Bulls used to win a championship, it was like frightening. They used to be flipping cars. It was crazy. It was chaotic, right?
Oh,
stuff was always fucking insane, right? So like, as a kid, I was always, they told the Bulls won the championship, or the Bulls won, I was like, nah, I just never liked it.
So they would riot?
Yeah, we'd go crazy. We'd flip the cars and stuff. Yeah,
okay, that's crazy. One
this, thing. This the 90s.
I don't understand that still.
It was crazy, yeah.
Win a championship.
Traumatized me a little bit.
Yeah, win a championship, flip cars, makes zero sense.
Yeah.
I would be like, hey, let's go get some beers or something. Right. I could understand drunk people celebrating, but flipping cars, riding.
Flip the cars, shooting guns, you know, it's going crazy out there. It's Chicago. The Bulls won, all you hear is that.
Well, I mean, you know, okay, so Lakers, obviously, the next, basically, like, the stepping stone to the next era was Kobe.
Yeah, it was Kobe,
and so I understand that, too. Just your age and my age kind of line up, so I figured Jordan. Mm-hmm. Jordan, Pippen, all those guys. Because they kind of brought, like, to me, the Bulls brought the NBA into pop culture.
Right.
And I know they've said that a lot. And then the Lakers, I mean, the Lake Showtime, Show. They've been around since Showtime, the 80s. Being cool.
Flashy, yeah.
Okay, so I wasn't expecting that. And you still ball, right?
I still ball. I was thinking about, you know, we got a season coming up. You playing this season?
Uh-huh.
I was thinking about it. I'm thinking about getting my own team, though. I talked to Gil. I came from down to Gil. Shout out to Gil. He just did the cut. But he was telling, we were probably talking about doing something, getting a team before it start.
He had one last year. And then he used to play with me.
Yeah.
And then some younger guys, they said, hey, do you want a sponsor? And then you have to play. I'm like, I have to, huh?
Right.
Okay. Right. Well, I said, you know what? I mean, you guys are – I'm one of the older ones on the team. I said, well, you know, if you need me to step in, that's fine. They always wanted me in the game. Like, I don't know why. Right. I'm only averaging like 5 points.
I mean, you bring the energy, though. You bring it.
You got to do.
Box out. Do everything you got to do. You know,
I do all the fundamental things.
You need the fundamentals.
Well, okay. You said that you made a career here in Winona, and I mean, I'm going off of, you sent me your website, which is called Dingy Group, right?
Yeah, Dingy Group.
And I was reading a little bit about why you called it that, and could you explain yourself, though, why you called it, because it's right on the website. Why did you come up with?
Dingy, just the shirt, you know, whatever, Dingy Group. It's Dingy was one of my best friends. He's from Winona, and he had passed away from a drug overdose. Me and him was real cool, and we did a lot of business together. You know, I stayed when he kind of like helped me out, took me in when I had nowhere to go when I first moved to Winona. But I know his death kind of like just affected me, so I kind of like from his name, I just started an entertainment company, pretty much an enterprise, and I just went from there, you know, in his name, you know, so I just keep his name alive. A lot of people knew who he was in Winona too, so.
Would I know who he is?
I mean, you probably would, man. Okay. Mark Dingy.
Mark Dingy. Did he play ball at all? Or?
Nah, he's more of a hippie type of dude, but he's, you know, computer tech genius.
Okay.
Computer stuff like
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah. So then it's kind of like an ode to him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's one thing I didn't know until I actually started reading the website, and I'm like, oh, you know, what's Dingy Group? I didn't know what that meant. And now I looked on your website, and you offer many services. Mm-hmm. Services I didn't even know about. Now, the one thing I did know about you is that, yes, you bring shows to Winona. Right. You have to the Black Horse many times.
Right.
But there was other things I went on there. I'm like, oh, a limo service? security service?
Yeah, for sure.
Production studio?
Yeah.
You have a clothing line?
Yeah.
I think there was a moving company, too.
Yeah, it's a moving company, too. Yeah.
Okay. For sure. Now, I don't even know where to start on the other questions, but which one was what started it all?
It was doing the shows. It was the event. It was right after COVID. I did a birthday party at the Black Horse. Shout out to Andre.
Andre,
that's my guy. One of my best friends. He did me. We threw a birthday party, and it was like kind of like a birthday bash, and like the whole town came and supported. And it was a big thing. So it was a show. It was just a birthday party. Kind of like did like a show with it. Started doing like artists, local artists, and stuff like that. And I got an idea just to go bigger with it. And I just started, you know, doing like celebrities and stuff after that, bringing celebrities to the town.
So. Was that the COVID times, right?
Yeah, it was the COVID time. It's like, soon after COVID, like, everything got shut down. And then like once we kind of like opened back up a little bit, that's when I kind of like jumped into the music scene, the shows and stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I remember Andre was one of the few places that was kind of not open, but he was doing a lot of takeout orders. Yeah. I would at least go to him once or twice a week because he was a local business that was still up and kicking and running. Yeah. So then you started actually during the year of 2020. So only talking 5 years, you've been up and running here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So what was the birthday bash? Who was it for? Or was it?
It was my birthday.
Your birthday.
It was my birthday bash. Yeah, it was mine. It was a crazy. That's probably like my biggest show was that like 5 years ago. My birthday bash. So many people came out. Like the whole town of Winona came out. So
nice. Yeah. So you said you had local artists or
Local artists.
Well, are they hip hop artists, country artists? Well, what are we talking about?
It's a mixture of everything. You know, hip hop. You know, mainly hip hop, but we it's a mixture of everything. We do hip hop, country. We dance group. We pretty much do everything. You know, anybody type of music. You know?
Who are some of the locals? And when you mean local, do you mean Winona or the surrounding area?
The surrounding area.
Okay.
Like Winona, La Crosse, sure. Rochester, you know, any Minneapolis and cities and stuff. So
okay.
Like, a lot of those areas come. We also, you know, support me and do shows and stuff. Shout out to Thoroughbred Alumni. They I do a lot of shows with them too. They bring a lot of artists study out of La Crosse. So a lot of local artists be in the area and stuff. You know,
gotcha.
Like Jigga G, you know, he's a local from Winona.
Who's that?
Jigga G. He's a local rapper from Winona.
There's one person I know.
He's probably like the best rapper in Winona, like hands down. He always at all my shows. Like I always gonna book him just because. You know,
okay.
He local. Everybody know who he is.
Nice.
He got a buzz out here, so.
I saw one photo. A guy by the name of Pelly.
Pelly.
Yeah.
Pelly. Yeah. Pelly too. Yeah. Shout out to Pelly. I did a lot of stuff with Pelly too. Pelly cool.
He's actually contacted me to be on the podcast a time or two. Trying to line a date because I know he's all over the place because he's producing music and I think isn't it like professional teams are picking up?
Yeah, he's doing like I know I've seen him at the Denver Nuggets doing like they stuff like
and
that.
And I think the Texans Houston Texans.
Yeah.
So that's pretty big. And I saw photos of him. And then I saw a bunch of other ones. Now, I might not be up on the local hip-hop scene, so I might not know any of these people. But, you know, as we go along in the interview, you know, just shout them out because I don't really know who they are. And I'm going to guarantee a lot of my people that listen to this probably aren't going to know who they are either.
Right.
So just shout them out every time.
Yeah, shout out to Pelly. You know, Pelly more of a, I want to see, he hip-hop, but not, you know, he got different genre, he had different type of style of music. You know?
I feel like his is like hype music.
That hype, yeah.
Because I was listening to some of his music just because it would be on the, he put it on Instagram or something. I'd hear it in the background. It's like it's supposed to get teams hyped up, which makes sense.
Right.
That's kind of what they would want.
Yeah, they want, right?
Sure. Okay, so then you do this birthday party, and you didn't have a company at the time, did you?
Nah.
So you're just like, hey, this was fun?
Yeah.
I should do this for a living?
Yeah, because I was like, I don't know, I think I could do it. I don't know. I kind of, the first birthday party was like a success. And then, you know, I ended up like venturing out, going to like La Crosse and stuff and meeting up with other promotion companies and other people that do the same thing I do. And I'm learning as I go.
Sure.
So I was doing the show. I meet Thoroughbred and I'm like, let's do a show. The next show we did was Day Day from Atlanta. And then I didn't know what I was doing, but I just went, you know what I'm saying? I'm learning from him, watching the stuff. And that's just how it really went for me.
So where in La Crosse have you done shows?
We done shows. I guess that Booth Pub Hill or something. I'm pronouncing it right. Booth Hill Pub.
I don't know
like
what that one
is.
No.
We did shows out there. That was it. That was pretty much what we did the shows at, the Booth Pub Hill.
I went to one show at the Cavalier Theater, and it was when Devin the Dude was in town back in 2017, I believe it was.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was interesting. And they did have some local artists that were on before him because he didn't show up until like 11:30 at night.
Right.
So I was at the Cavalier Theater. It was very unique.
Oh, yeah. I also have been there, too, at the Cavalier. Yeah.
That's an interesting place. Yeah. It was kind of weird because obviously Devin the Dude in our area – hardly anybody knows him unless you really know him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because some people were, because it's a theater format, some people are just sitting there watching him, and there's other people like myself, front row, trying to like give him high fives and stuff. And it was really a unique experience on the low key scene. But I enjoy that kind of stuff because most of the people I like are kind of people that aren't huge.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get close enough to them and actually get the experience. And I had a fantastic time at that one because I've been a Devin the Dude fan since like 2000. So.
Right.
So you've done shows there, and then you mentioned another guy named Day Day, and that sounds familiar from Atlanta.
Yeah, Day Day from Atlanta. Yeah, rapper from Atlanta.
So okay,
back about 10, 15 years ago, he had a buzz. He was going pretty strong out here. He still got a couple songs that people listen to this day that you can still play.
Okay,
2025. So,
I lived in Atlanta for about 2 years, so I have an idea of what the scene is like down there, but not very much. But Day Day did sound familiar.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then you get done with your birthday party. And you're like, hey, what's the next step? And what is the next step? Is, I guess my question is, where do we go from here? Like, I loved it. That was fun. I think I can do this as a living. Now what?
We took the business route. You know, I got a team together. We did the LLC to get an assistant, you know, get the website going. you know, started shooting music videos, you know, reaching out to celebrities that, you know, so they could shout out our brand.
Sure.
Like that. And we went from there, you know, just went from there. I'm like my team, it's been a lot going on the last 5 years. I'd have had to switch up team and, you know, had to do all stuff, but I'm still at the head of this. I'm still here. Like, it's still going on. But
sure.
A lot of stuff, a lot of moving pieces have to be moving around and, you know, but right now we definitely back in another rebuilding stage.
Okay.
You know, and, but.
So you're the CEO.
Yeah, I'm the CEO.
Okay.
CEO,
but other people under you are. You know,
I got people that work for the company. Yeah.
Okay.
I got some assistants. I got some artists that signed to the label. I got people that run my website. I got stuff like that. So.
Okay. Yeah. And then now you said that you reached out to celebrities to shout out your brand.
Yeah.
Who actually responded and said,
well, they did shows for me, so they had to respond. I got like King Louis, Aaron Carter.
Sure.
Day Day, El Hedda. We did Sada Baby. It's on the website. I did a lot. Montana 300. I could keep going.
Okay. So those are actually celebrities, and they came here to Winona because they looked at the photos, and they have you have photos of them, and they're performing. So they actually responded.
Yeah.
So what did you say to them to get a response?
Well, it's business. I had to learn the business too when it comes to like doing shows and events and stuff like that. It's just like any other business. You know, they got a price they need to get. They got a fee for shows they want to do. So if you could, you know what I'm saying, cover the deposit, pay their fee, then they're booking. And they see I'm a legit company, you know, I'm really doing this for real. So you can't be faking it. Like, if you ain't really about it, a lot of them won't reach back out to you.
Sure.
So if I hit them up, like, they gonna reach back out to me.
Okay.
You know, I'm serious.
Now, I was in the wrestling business, and I'm not saying I'm done with it. I just haven't done it in 2 years. But it can be a shady business.
For sure.
Promoters for say, sure. Oh, we'll pay you this. Sure. And then all of a sudden the show's over.
Sure.
They don't.
They don't, yeah.
So have you experienced that on the opposite end where someone, because you just said they have a deposit.
Yeah.
Then there's a fee. I assume they want you to get, do they make you pay travel?
Some do. Depends.
Okay.
Depends.
Now, have you had any no-shows?
I haven't had a no show, but I almost had a no show with the Aaron Carter. If we're gonna get into that,
oh yeah, we're gonna get into that.
We talk about, yeah,
okay. That would be the one thing I'd worry about. I'm the promoter. I throw down whatever. What is a normal deposit?
Anywhere from $2,500 to $3,500.
Whoa,
I'm paying like $10,000 for the artist at least.
Okay,
some of them.
So that would be my nerve wracking. Is that you give them this money and they don't show.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens to a lot of wrestling people too.
Yeah, right.
And so you haven't had that, which is good.
Right.
So you don't have any scars on you of like bad.
I can think of. You know what I'm saying?
None that you could think. Well, I think it would stand out if you lost money. I think you'd be like, shit. But that's good though, because I thought you'd be like, oh, I've had a couple. They, you know, paid the deposit and then they didn't show up and stuff like that. I always worry about that kind of stuff. And the promotion, the concert scene, is that, can it be shady?
It's super shady. It's super shady.
Okay.
It's shady. But like I said, I grew up from the south side of Chicago. I'm kind of used to shady business.
Okay.
You know, got to handle certain stuff. But yeah, it's definitely shady, you know. And a lot of times what I do right now is that lately I just do it all myself, try to be hands-on with myself.
Like, yep.
I don't try to bring too much other people in, another company in, whatever. Now I just like be hands-on with it myself. So I watch everything now, but it's definitely shady. So I watch my own team, you know, people collecting the money at the door. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Is it hard to do to keep it all?
Yeah.
Everything? Because I mean, you got to be like, okay, this guy's got this, and then I got to make sure everything runs smoothly.
Yeah, dude, I got to pay people at the end, the security, you know,
sure,
stuff like that. So yeah, it is a lot. It's hard to do, but I'll be managing it well. I really honestly didn't. You see everything I do with company, I'm used to just working in the chaos, man. So I handle everything well, you know. A lot of times I'd be ready to break, but most of the time I keep it together.
That's good. That's good. I mean, once it gets going, it's got to seem like, okay, everything's going pretty smooth now. And so when you do a show, do you book multiple artists then at once?
Well, see, I do like a headliner.
Yep.
Mostly be all locals.
You know, okay.
It'd be like some local people from around the areas, around the areas there. If they want to get on stage, they book their slot. And then I just have a main artist, but now what I'm going to do when I start transitioning, doing other shows, picking it back up again, I'm going to be, most likely going to be a lot of main artists. It won't be too much local. I'm going to start booking like a couple of main artists back to back.
Okay.
Three main artists.
Sure. You know? Yeah, because I always know whenever I go to a concert, there's maybe an opening act or two.
Right.
And then you got the main headliner. Yeah, so, okay. Yeah. I understand. How many people have you normally show up to a show then here in Winona? Because I'm going to be honest. I don't think the Winona is the most hip-hop scene.
It's not at all. Okay. It's not at all, man. But I got some people out there, you know, that listen to hip-hop. But it's not the most hip-hop. It's actually like you got to go somewhere else with that. For a hip-hop show, the small suburbs be like 50 to 75 people for like the hip-hop show.
Sure. So, yeah. Do the performers ever go like, man, I was really expecting a bigger crowd?
Oh, yeah, sure. I didn't reach to see him. Like, DJ Luke Nasty, he performed and stuff, but I could tell he was like, in lacrosse, he just wasn't feeling it because there was nobody there.
You know, sure.
These people got like Grammy song nominated songs, and these people got like these songs, like they good. they was on a whole nother level, then they gotta come perform it in Winona. So it'd be like, well, I don't want to like be the end of their career or nothing, but.
Well, yeah. You know, the one thing we always were taught with wrestling, no matter if there's two people in the seats or 2,000 people in the seats, you gotta perform like it's a big crowd.
The show must go on, man.
The show must go on. I always think that would be so awkward. And I like to sing karaoke. Everyone that knows me knows I love singing karaoke. But it feels way better when there's a large group of people in the room, even though I'm not the greatest singer.
Right.
It's better than having two people sitting out there listening to you. Listening to me probably whine and croak on the mic. But it's always way more fun having a lot more people out there because they've got to feed off the energy, obviously, of what the audience is doing as well.
Yeah.
So you said the biggest performer you've ever had here was Aaron Carter. Is that correct?
Yeah. I would say so. I'll say Aaron Carter.
I would say in Winona, we know who he is.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, so you brought him here, and I know that he just recently passed away as well, but I remember seeing the photos, and people were like, Aaron Carter's in town?
Right.
I'm like, and then I'm like, well, where is he at? Black Horse.
The Black Horse, right.
Yeah. So how did, when I think of Aaron Carter, I think of the young child Aaron Carter.
I beat Shaq.
I beat Shaq.
Yeah, that's what I thought of him too. Yeah.
Okay. So then, did he get into hip hop?
He was like hip hop, like kind of like hip and pop. You know,
okay.
Like kind of more so pop a little bit, but
sure.
His last album, not his last one, but he had an album called The Love Album, was actually really fire. So
okay.
It was actually really good.
So then, how did you decide? Hey, let's go after Aaron.
Well, honestly, it wasn't me. It was Thoroughbred. Shout out Thoroughbred alumni. The out of lacrosse, he kind of like slid it up to me. Like, man, I could get Aaron Carter. What you want to do with that? And at the time, I wasn't really thinking. I was just doing shows. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Whatever, you know. And then I told Andre, I'm like, man, we gonna do Aaron Carter at the Black Horse. He was like, the Aaron Carter. I'm like, so they're like, hold on, let me see who you talking about. I looked him up. Oh yeah, this Aaron Carter. I'm like, yeah, we gonna do him. So everybody was excited at first, and then I don't know. It just after that, like, people got wind that we was doing a show with him at the Black Horse, and they started harassing the Black Horse. They started harassing me, like PETA. Like, they say they was like saying he killed dogs, and like people were like, if we do the show, we're gonna boycott it. Like, we're gonna be out there. It was like a whole fucking thing. Like, me and Andre, we kind of like bumping heads about it because people were complaining about it, and like me and his friendship was on the line. It was like that. It was like super. Like, it was like up. So like the whole 2 months of promoting the show, it was just like people didn't want us to do the show. Me and Andre, like, fighting over it because we don't know what to do. And we tired of people complaining and commenting, and it was just a bad review. And then come towards the show, he canceled it the day of the show.
He canceled
the show the day of the show.
Okay.
Now,
I assume you got the deposit already down.
He already had the money already.
Fuck.
So he canceled the show and stuff. I don't know, man. This lady, I was talking to her a lot. She was the one that was really on this case, didn't want to perform and stuff. I don't know. She kind of like made a post or did something that went kind of viral. And next thing you know, he was like, he made an Instagram post like, I'm on my way to Winona, Minnesota right now to do the show. A sold out show. Y'all thought it was canceled, but it wasn't. So he get on the plane and get to Winona, but he get to like the airport like around Minneapolis, like around 11:30. You know, Winona, our bars closed at 1 o'clock.
Oh, 11:30 p.m.
Yeah, he get in town at 11:30 p.m. The show going on. People at the show, like, looking at me like, where's he at? Like, people, like, it's just a whole thing, man. Like, people paying money. They mad. They walking out. They leaving. Like, people looking at me with disgust. I'm sitting here like, this dude better come on. Like, Andre looking at me like, where he at? So he finally show up, and he showed up at, like, 1 o'clock, like bar time. And I was like, man, I don't give a, get your ass on the stage and perform, bro. Like, get up and perform. You know, we let him perform. And then even, it was crazy, like, even Andre, he don't even like talk. Even Andre had to have some words for him at the end of it. We had to come talk to him and stuff. Like, you know, it's not how we do business. It was a whole thing, man. But we was glad it was over then. He passed away a week later.
Yeah.
So then they blamed us for it, too. They like,
they blamed you.
They
blamed
us. They said, well, he came and went on there and relapsed. He got, and they blamed us for that. So it was like, yeah, I don't know. It was the whole thing. We didn't get the man high when he came to Winona, I promise.
You didn't what?
We didn't get him high when he came to Winona.
No. Did he stay overnight somewhere?
No, he actually left. As soon as he finished here, he hopped right back up to, got on his limo and flew back up to the.
He went right back up to the cities and left?
Yeah.
Gosh, it sounds like a lot of traveling for like, how long did he perform for?
About 15, 20, 30, 15, 20 minutes tops.
Not oh, my long. Gosh. If but, I were you, I'm pissed.
Dude, I was pissed. Like, it was just because the crowd wasn't even there. At this point, the bar was closed.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I didn't know all of what went on behind it. I knew there were some people very excited to see him. Yeah. I didn't know that there was, like, a boycott.
So he canceled the show, and that's why the boycotters didn't come. Mm-hmm. But if it had, like they were coming, like it was coming, like Peter, like people were coming, come to the Black Horse, like to protest his performance and stuff like that. So I guess he was smart about canceling. Like he was going to cancel the show, and then they didn't show up. But
so did he have a history of abusing animals?
From my research, yeah, from my understanding, yeah.
Okay.
About 30 dogs or something like that. People complain, like, yeah. Jeez. I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that at first.
I didn't know that even until you just said that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And we already had the business going. We already paid them and stuff like that. And then people was coming in with this. I'm like, we already done paid the guy. We already did this. I didn't.
Can I ask you what his fee was or not?
Oh, it was not. It wasn't. He only wanted $5,000.
Okay. Yeah. What was the deposit for something like?
$2,500 and then $2,500 on the back.
So end. Half and half.
Yeah.
Okay, so that happens. You're mad.
All right.
The owner of the Black Horse, Andre's mad. And did you guys both confront him?
Yeah, we did at the end of it.
What was his response?
He was saying, like, he was saying he's sorry, and his response was, I don't know, I think he see we mean business and stuff, and we tell him we'll run him back. If he was really, like, up to his stuff and, you know, really, like, about his business, we'll bring you back. And we'll do this for real this time.
Yeah.
You know, like, even Andre was saying, Andre usually don't talk to the, you know, but, like, he even said, like, man, if you about your business, man, you get your stuff together, like, we'll bring you back, and it'd be way worth it. You'll have some money. So he's like, I'm sorry. He seen that we were serious. So, like, he kind of, like, shouted us out at the Oh No Jumper. He shouted us out and went on to Minnesota and stuff. So he seemed like he was serious, but, you know.
But then he never had the chance to come back and make it right because then what happened? He overdosed?
They say he overdosed and drowned in a bathtub.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Drowned in the bathtub. Yeah. Yeah. I know there were some people that were there that night. Actually, one of my good friends was. And I'm like, what happened the week later? Because she's like, I don't know. And I heard a lot of people were very excited to see him. And, like, you know, as Andre was shocked probably when he said, I got Aaron Carter. And he's like, oh, like Aaron Carter.
Yeah.
He's thinking,
right,
teenage Aaron Carter. And so was I. I'm like, oh, he's still performing. Okay. Right. But he was more into the hip-hop scene.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. It was at the most, interesting, negative.
That was the most everything.
Stressful.
Stressful. That was everything. I don't know. That was everything, but.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting there. He's like, what did he do? Text you? Hey, I just landed or what?
Yeah, he was like, I just landed, but it was like 11:30. And I'm like,
how do you get down to Winona in an hour and a half?
Yeah, man, he's speeding, I guess.
Jesus. I would have been like, bar's closed, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, I would be kind of mad. Where was he coming from?
California.
California, okay. Uh-huh. So he probably left at a way earlier time because obviously come this way, it's like 2 hours difference.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a stressful night. I could understand because if he messes up and doesn't do things right, it doesn't make you look legit.
Right, it don't make me legit at all.
Because when you are starting off, because this was, what, 2022?
Yeah.
So you're kind of in like year two of your business. Right. You're like, I got to have everything go off without a hitch.
Right.
Because you're a small business, so everyone knows who you are. Mm. They go, that's the guy that's in charge.
Right.
You got to have everything go smooth.
Right.
Did you face any backlash from that then?
From
just like people that came and said, you know, oh God, he wasn't even close to on time. And
yeah, I faced backlash for that.
Okay.
You know, but still, like people, I can't please everybody. You know, I tried, but yeah, still face backlash from it. You know, just anything I really do, almost like I kind of expect some criticism. You know, some backlash, and I'm bringing some type something different to what none of that people not used to.
Sure.
So they already be like, "What's this hip hop stuff? And what's this? And what's that?" You know, mm-hmm. already out here. But yeah, I'm just. This is what I'm talented as my career. That's what I want to do. So I'm just, that's what I'm doing.
Sure. Yeah. And it stinks because you obviously want, like I said, everything to go off without a hitch. Right. You want a positive review. And you can't please everyone, but some people have got to understand you're not in charge of when Aaron gets here.
Right.
I paid him his fee.
Yeah.
I'm not in charge. I can't help that he didn't show up.
He didn't follow
until
the contract. It's a contract. No time supposed to be. What time supposed to form a stage. Everything in the contract.
What time was he supposed to perform?
He was supposed to perform. He had to be on stage at 12:45. So
okay. Yeah. So he was expecting 12:45?
We was expecting 12:45. Okay. Yeah.
Was he really only going to do it for 20 minutes? Or?
Well, they usually do a 15-minute set. They usually do three or four songs. And okay. It only take about 15 minutes. And then
damn.
They have that, so.
Three or four songs for $5,000.
Yeah, that's it.
I need to make a hit.
I know, right? I'm trying to make some money. I got a studio. I'm working on a hit.
Well, okay. Let's go over to that. You have a studio.
Yeah.
Is it located in Winona?
Yeah. Well, it was located in Winona, and I moved it to Vegas because I was in Vegas. I was there for 2 years. I just got back.
Okay.
So I lived in Vegas for 2 years. I just got back 2 months ago. So right now I'm bringing all the equipment and getting all the equipment stuff back from Nevada. I'm going out there at the end of the month to go get the rest of my stuff. But yeah, it'll be out here from like downtown or something. I'm looking for a spot, but I got everything I need. But I'll get a building around here somewhere. So.
We're in Vegas. Like, did you rent a place, buy a place?
Yeah, I had like a little studio rent, little spot.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who'd you have come in? Yeah, any big names that people might know?
Just local. I ain't really getting a chance to build and do celebrities and do studio session with the celebrities, which I plan on doing to shoot some music videos with them. Everything be happening so fast. I have to come back to town, to Winona, because my son started high school, and I want to be a part of that. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're going to bring the studio back here.
Right.
And you hope to rent it out, I assume, per hour?
Yeah, well, yeah, I do studio session rent out. Well, it'd be like what I would do is be like a one-stop shop for everything like it was last time. You could record, mix, master songs, edit it. We could do all that for you. It'd be clothing line, and it'd be like our clothing in there. And what else we have in that was unique that we would be doing?
Well, you had a limo service. I saw that.
We got the party bus and limo service and stuff too. Yeah, so it'd be like, well, I really, it'd be like I'm opening. What I want to do is open up an entertainment system.
Okay.
An entertainment center for the youth.
Okay.
So like, well, I could teach them how to do all the music, mix and match and stuff at an early age. They want to get into the music thing, so. And then the studio would be there too. So that's really what I'm working on like right now.
So you know how to make the music yourself?
Yeah, I could hire producers.
Okay.
Like, I could do everything myself, but I always got like, I could hire producers and people that engineers and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
But I could do those things too.
So are you, is the idea to teach it, but also if they want to actually record an album, they can do that too?
That too, yeah.
What would something like, if you rent out a studio, how much does that cost to do?
For the people?
Just like, let's say I want to come and record some music. How much would I be looking at to do that?
I mean, like, if you wanted just to record a song, say if you wanted to shoot a music video too with that.
You're going to do that too.
You do all that.
Sweet,
so
okay.
One stop shot. But if you wanted to record a song, just a song, right now we're doing like $25 an hour for the
that's not bad.
Studio session. Yeah.
So then, okay, so that's just to do that. What if I need someone to produce the music and make the music another...
That probably come in with that too.
Oh,
that probably be all part of that, because if you record the song, the producer and the engineer are gonna be there anyways, and they so.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's actually kind of interesting because I'm not sure how many studios we have in Winona. I feel like there are maybe one somewhere, but I remember back in the day, and actually this is before you were actually probably living here. There used to be a place called Rock Solid here in town.
I heard about Rock Solid.
Yeah, they used to have a recording studio, I think, in the upper level, but I don't know whatever became of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know either.
But nowadays, you can kind of make music on your computer, right?
Right, you can make your computer, yeah.
It's a little easier, I suppose.
Yeah, you could do stuff now, like on your computer and stuff, but when I open up the center, I'm going to have it old school with all the gifts and gadgets on everything and that.
Like Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it old fashioned way.
That's right. Okay, well that's gonna go back in time a little bit for some people that don't understand that.
Yeah, we had a little technology, we had to up to date stuff in there too, but
sure. You know. And then you said you also want to do music videos?
Yeah, I do a lot of music videos. I got a lot of music videos. You know, we at DingyGroup.com on YouTube.
Okay.
So we at Dingy Group Enterprises. But there's a lot of music videos up there. I shot a bunch of music videos.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I do a lot for people around here.
That's okay. Who's some people that you've done some music videos for then?
I did something for Arzo, Jay Breezer, Trio from La Crosse.
I know there's one person or one music video that everyone knows in Winona. I don't know.
Winona song?
Yeah.
Pelly, I'll be about 50 Money.
Is that
Winona?
Did you do the music video?
No, I didn't do that. No, that was before my time. But that's my guy, though. You know, shout out to 50. He in Minneapolis. He actually did a show. He did my birthday bash. And we supposed to be doing some work. He got a song with one of my guys, TK. Yeah, they got a couple songs together too, but yeah, Winona song is a monument song.
I know people always ask about that. Hey, you seen that?
He be kidding his head down because that's what people know him for. He actually do other music, got other good songs too, but people only know him for the Winona song. So,
well, I know people in Winona know him for that. I don't think they'll know him for anything else other than that. But that's hilarious because that's one thing that people always remember is that music video about Winona. Right. The only rap thing we've ever had that I can remember.
It was crazy too. It was wild. A bunch of people in the video. I remember. All I can remember is the $5 pizza box in the video. That from the
$5 pizza.
$5 pizza spot.
Now it's called Winona's Pizza.
Yeah, that's Winona's Pizza.
Yeah, now you should redo it. We need part two. Winona.
I could probably make that happen, okay. I could probably make that happen for real.
Wait, so okay, now when it comes to what part do you have of the music portion? Because we're not to the other stuff yet. What part of that do you like the most of it? Is it putting on the shows? Is it possibly producing music or music
the
videos?
The production.
The production of it.
Yeah, like shooting the music videos and stuff like that. I like the production of it. You know, we could act. You know, it's like acting pretty much. You know, quick little movie scene.
Sure. How long would it take, do you think, from your experience, how long does it take to shoot a music video? It's like an all-day thing, a multiple-day thing?
It could be all day. It could be anywhere from, 4 to 6 hours, So a couple scenes and different locations, areas and stuff like that, about 4 to 6 hours.
Okay, now I got a question because I've seen music videos, and they line up the words of the mouth perfectly. Right. Are they shooting 4 different scenes? Recording the same song while they're obviously lip syncing it, I assume, and then they mash it all together.
Yeah, so that's pretty much on the cameraman. He does all the editing and he could mash all that stuff together. But you shoot a lot of times. You know, they shoot a lot of times. You could just shoot the music video without the music. You could just, but we play music in the background. So they play the music in the background, then you just shoot it, and then the cameraman he take the song and he edit it with the video.
Well, I feel like, okay, let's say I had a song and I wanted to come here. I feel like I would have to record the whole song doing things in this portion. Then I'd go to, let's just say, the lakes in Winona. I'd record the whole entire song, lip syncing it down there.
Yeah.
Another 4 locations, and then they mash it all up together so the words all come up.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
That's how it goes? Okay, yeah, so I was kind of on track with, because, you know, music videos, I grew up with a lot of music videos, MTV, I grew up watching. God, I remember Coolio and all that kind of stuff when I was little. And one of the songs I remember when I was little is Doing It by LL Cool J.
Yeah,
I was too young to probably be listening to that. Yeah. It's all good. But so, okay, so you enjoy doing that portion. Mm-hmm. What, I guess, how much does it cost to produce something like that? Or is it just really time?
It's really just time. I mean, right now, a lot of cameramen and stuff, a lot of people shooting the music videos, not charging that much money to shoot a music video, unless you got a crazy $15,000 camera or something.
Sure.
Yeah, but other than that, a lot of the times, you know, we shoot your music video, you get your music video probably about $150.
Really?
A high quality, good. You know what I'm saying? $50.
I mean, I feel like you can just record on a phone nowadays because it's all 4K and 120. Yeah. Frames per second, that's a lot.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
So, okay, that's pretty cool. Now, let's go off of some of the other stuff. The clothing line, what's it called? Is it just Dingy Group?
It's Dingy Group, yeah.
Okay.
It's on the website. You know, you keep scrolling down. You could order up stuff. Oh, my God, what is one of the shirts right here? One of them.
Dragon?
Yeah, it's a dragon. It's the lunar year. We made that. This came out last year. But yeah, it was the lunar year, the year of the dragon. You know, but
okay.
Yeah, so that's why I did Chinese. It. But it's pretty much a Dingy Group you know, DGE.
Yep.
Digital Group Enterprise with the website on it. No.
Okay. So what's the idea with that then? Is it to try to scale it so it's bigger, or is it something?
Right now we're going to scale it when it's bigger. We're trying to get it bigger. I got to get, right now we in production, and I get manufacturing. I got to get the bundles and get ready to get that stuff back producing the clothes. But I'm working on that too right now, producing the clothes. But yeah, we're going to try to scale this. You know, I'm trying to open up a little clothing store too.
Okay, online or?
We already online, but I'm trying to get a physical store. I'm trying to get something out here too.
Like sure.
A little store. Just sell some other stuff, but mainly my clothing. You know?
So what was the idea with that then? Is it just, I like clothing?
I like clothing too. Yeah, I'm real big into fashion and clothing and stuff, so I've always been like that. I'm always dressing nice. I'm always putting shit on, so... Yeah, I was like, design, I dropped a lot of DGE, when Barry with clothes and stuff, you know? Like
sure.
A whole bunch of stuff. I'm always dropping something different, something new. I always come up with different ideas of clothing and stuff. So, yeah.
So when you're doing this, do you have to find distribution and all that kind of stuff in order to produce it, or is it produced all like kind of locally at the moment?
Well, like I have done business with North Castles.
Yep.
They do clothing. You know, they do a lot of mass production and stuff. Yeah, like
I know
that.
Hugo.
Yeah. So yep. I did some stuff with him. He started me out a lot, and I might be going back to him too. But yeah, then from there, then like I was in Nevada and stuff. They got some stuff in California. It's close that you could get like from these Asian companies, Chinese companies. You get bundles of clothing.
Sure.
For pretty good prices. So I think I'm going to have to take another trip.
Well, I suppose if you get it in mass produce, it just makes the profit margins a little bit more. Because I know it's kind of tough to obviously, you got to start somewhere, but it's not easy. I know that much.
Yeah, I get a lot of clothes. Like a Hugo was, like I said, he helped me get a lot of mass production for a good price so I could make some money off my clothing line too. So,
So fashion just kind of another hobby that you're
another hobby.
I mean, it all goes together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pop culture.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So then when you're going back to bringing shows to town, when's the next ones you got coming up, or you have some coming up in 2025 or 2026 down the road?
I'm looking towards 2026.
Okay.
And it won't, I don't know about, the Black Horse, you know, they're still rebuilding it, you know, and all that. And I think, you know, maybe they want to take a little break from that side of it too. Cause me, Andre, we both know the business, like doing this stuff, you know, we lose a lot of money more than we make doing the shows and promotion stuff because a lot of people don't show up to events and stuff like that. So you lose a little bit more money. So he planned on taking another break. I took a break for like the last 2 years on doing shows and stuff. So I'm kind of like ready to get back into it. But it would be more than surrounding areas though. I'll be more like La Crosse. So I'm in probably Rochester. I'm definitely looking. I got my mark and my asset on Eau Claire. You know, Pelly out there in Eau Claire too. Last time I checked.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yeah.
So I got my ass set on Eau Claire. We're gonna be probably doing some stuff out there. They kind of got a good market too, where people show out and stuff to their shows.
Where do you think your best market would be in the local area here? Is it gonna be Rochester, La Crosse, Eau Claire?
Right now, I think it's gonna be Eau Claire.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was thinking Rochester.
Yeah, Rochester too. I got shout out to Blake and them out there, to them, my boys. I do a lot of business out there too, but maybe Rochester and Eau Claire is those the top two places where that's where the market probably going
to
be at.
I feel like would it be hard to break into the Minneapolis area? I feel like there's just so much stuff going on up there.
I know a bunch of guys up there, a couple of promoters and stuff, people that do the same thing I do. Like, it wouldn't be too hard, you know, but, you know, they definitely got their thing going on. I'd be new, but... I can get my stuff get up in there.
Okay.
Get up in there.
So as we're starting to wind down on the podcast here, who's someone that you want to work with? Like, if you had someone that would come into, let's just say, the studio, who would you want someone to come in and work with, or who is someone you'd want to come play a show for you?
That's
tougher than you might think.
Right now, I'm going to just go with some future stuff. I'm going to go with Boss Man D-Lo. You know, he's a rapper from Miami. Yeah, I've been listening to him a lot. So he's been like kind of like just, he like on a generational run. He just kind of like blew up out of nowhere the last 2 years.
Boss Man D-Lo?
Yeah, Boss Man D-Lo.
All right.
Yeah, if I could. But he kind of expensive. Like, he probably want like $250,000.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, so I've never heard of him. And I feel like I have, well, maybe I'm just not up on the hip-hop scene like I used to be because I'm like too short, Devin the Dude. That's my guys. Yeah. So I don't know who Boss Man D-Lo is at the moment. So is he kind of an independent guy at the moment? or is he
I think he's more independent, but I think he like, I think he's independent, but he probably signed to a couple of distributors and you know, got his stuff like that, but got his team and stuff. But he pretty big right now in the rap game. He like probably like top three right now.
Okay, yeah. Well, I can look that one up then. Yeah. So you'd want to produce for him or just bring him to a show?
If I could do like everything I do, we could do a show, we could shoot a music video.
All in one.
I was actually get a studio station. You can do all those things.
Dingy Group, all in one. You can do it all here.
All in one. You can do it everything here. So yeah.
So that's a guy that he's kind of on the come up, and you kind of listening to. Yeah. And okay. Yeah. You ever met him at all?
Nah. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I ran into him down here. So.
Who'd you grow up listening to?
I grew up listening to Twista, 50 Cent, my favorite artist.
Okay.
Twista, Do or Die, Crucial Conflict.
Do or Die by Twista.
Do or Die is a
rap. Oh yeah, that's a group. That's a group.
Yeah, Twista though is a Chicago from artist, a Chicago artist too. So I grew up listening to a lot of that growing up.
Okay. Now, do you listen to other types of music then?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of country.
Really?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of hip hop country too. I listen to a lot of country though.
I feel like a lot of country music is kind of hip hop-y now.
Yeah, they doing that now. It's like a new wave. It's like a new genre of music. It's like hip hop country. It's like gangsta cowboy. So that's kind of where I'm going to right now, too. I'm in that field, Gangsta Cowboy.
Okay. Well, you know, one person that comes to mind that just sounds like this is Big X the Plug. He sounds like that country rap.
Yeah, like Shaboozy.
My wife loves Shaboozy.
Me too, my guy. I actually want to do something with him, too, like if I could.
That'd be crazy. Didn't he just win a Grammy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what I thought. Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of cool then. And there's another guy, a white guy that sings some rap country. I think his name's like 501 Breeze.
Yeah.
You got like Square Toe Steppa is a song. I listen to it at the gym all the time.
Yeah.
And people are always like, how the heck do you know all this music? I'm like, well, I listen to it at the gym. And, you know, nowadays music's so accessible. I can just go to Apple Music and whatever I want.
Yeah.
So that is a new wave that's coming in, huh?
Yeah.
Because I feel like everyone told me, real country is George Strait and Garth Brooks. I understand that because that is older. And then all of a sudden it kind of went to like people call it like maybe a rock country.
Yeah, rock
like
country.
Florida Georgia Line, stuff like that. And now it's kind of getting this hip-hop country.
Yeah, hip-hop country, yeah.
Which is actually kind of, I feel like it's, and I've said this to many people, I feel like country and hip-hop are like, two oppos, but they're like starting to come
opposite
together.
Opposite attracts, man. Some opposite attracts, man. It's dope.
It's true. I would have never, when I was younger, I would never have said, oh yeah, country hip hop. Right. That's gonna be a thing.
Yeah, but it's
never.
A thing. It's
so like, that's really cool and that's interesting because it does bring a lot of people, together.
Yeah.
You know, maybe country people won't listen to hip hop and vice versa. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait a second, that's kind of interesting. I kind of like that. I mean, I like Big X the Plug. I like that, whatever his big song was called. Like, I forgot what it's called.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot of them. I know that. But, anyways, I'm starting to understand what that genre is because I didn't even know there was like, I didn't even know it was considered a genre. I just thought, to me, Nelly was the first guy to ever step over.
Yeah, Nelly with Tim McGraw and stuff.
Yeah, and then he did it with Florida Georgia Line. So to me, Nelly was the first guy to ever kind of cross those genres. Yeah. And that was kind of cool, too. Yeah. I grew up Nelly. Nelly came here when I was in seventh grade to WSU.
Right.
And I went to that concert. Oh, I was probably a little too young to be there. But it was a very, very fun time.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's next for you then? Where are we heading here? Because 2025, we're kind of getting down the end of it. You said you're kind of more focused on 2026 coming up.
Yeah.
What do we? What's next? Or what in your mind? What is next?
All right. Well, right now I'm on a I'm on a media run right now. I'll be doing a lot of podcasting. And
here you are.
Yeah. So I'm just the first one to start of it. So I got this going on. I'm probably gonna do DJ UTV in Chicago next. Right now I'm on a media run, getting ready for 2026. Like I said, I want to start doing shows, going to do them at Rochester, Eau Claire, that area, and studio back open up. And like I said, we always got to move in, party buses and stuff like that. And I'm working on another idea too. Like I want to get a decent party bus to where I travel people back and forth from here to Vegas. So.
Well, what would that be like?
It would be we play a fat fee. We'd take you to Vegas, stop Mill Point in like Denver or something like that. And, you see the sights and we'd take you to Vegas for a couple of days and bring you back.
Like, would it be on a party bus?
On a party bus. I make sure it's a big party bus, is comfortable and everything and stuff like that. And
better make sure the bathroom's good on there.
Yeah, all that. I thought about this. Man, I've been thinking about this a long time, how to put this together. But, yeah, I think it'd go. Because it's like a lot of times, since I've been back, and I drove back to Vegas a couple times, and they were like, people just like, oh, you want to go to Vegas? I want to go. And people just...
Drive to Vegas. Yeah, that's a long trip.
But it's a nice scenery though. Like but when you get past the Midwest and get towards Denver and stuff.
Get past Nebraska.
Yeah, get past Nebraska. You like, it's nothing but beautiful scenery out there.
Yeah. I went there when I was 7 years old with my grandparents. That was back in 94. I don't remember all the scenery, but I do remember certain aspects. And I remember Wyoming was really nice because we took a different route home.
Yeah, okay.
But we did drive there. And that was, I couldn't believe at 7 years old, they said, you were a great passenger.
Yeah.
And I had stories to tell. Just like, you know, I'm an only child. I can talk to whoever for the most part. But that would be an interesting concept.
Yeah.
So you'd stop at a halfway point, meaning like that's where you'd stay overnight?
Yeah, if they want to stay overnight. You know, you get, of course, a couple stops here and there, but yeah.
That would make a long trip a lot more fun on a party bus.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I feel like, how many people do you think you could put on a party bus?
I'm trying to get a big one.
Coach bus? 50,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. You'd have to charge a pretty good fee because you don't want to put too many people on, otherwise people are going to be annoyed.
Right.
Bathroom situation, right. I feel like, because when I'm drinking a little bit, I'm peeing all the time.
Right, for sure.
Yeah. So that would be a cool concept.
I don't know. It's something different. It's something new, and you'll never know.
Like, people fly out to Vegas all the time to gamble.
Yeah, Vegas all the time.
So this is just a different way to experience it, and it could be for the people that don't enjoy flying as much.
Right.
Because you can fly for, I don't know, nowadays, Christ, they almost pay you to come there to gamble. But that'd be really cool to see all the scenery, too, once you're past, Nebraska.
Yeah, what's past Nebraska,
It's pretty plain and flat and boring. But, that's an interesting concept. I mean, you already kind of, like you said, you're in the party bus game. The moving one, that one just shocked me, actually. I was like, oh, he's a mover, too?
We haul this stuff about here for real.
Okay, so 2026, you're looking, you want to get back into shows, you're doing a media run, you want to do some podcasts, which I'm your first stop.
Right.
Oh, man, I feel privileged. And then you're going to go do you have other ones already lined up that you're going to?
Podcasts?
Yep.
Yeah, I got, like I said, I got one in Chicago that I plan on going to after the holidays, maybe before the holidays.
Okay. Is it someone you know personally?
Nah, he a big podcaster, though, out there. He's called DJU. He got a real big platform in Chicago.
What's his podcast about?
It's about, it's like kind of like, just talking, but it's pretty much of the hip hop scene and the drill scene in Chicago.
Gotcha.
It's different. He all into the politics and everything that's going on out there. Like me, I'm just going for the media run. It's a big platform, I did a lot of shows with a lot of Chicago artists, King Louie and stuff, so we could talk about that,
Gotcha.
But, yeah.
That's cool. I mean, this is really neat that you're doing all this because, like I said, hip hop in Winona, not much of a thing.
Nah,
but I grew up, I was one of those few people that grew up rap, hip hop. I was watching MTV, like I was saying, when I was 7 years old. I'm sitting there watching LL Cool J and I'm watching Snoop Dogg, Steal a G thing, and all that kind of stuff. And I always kind of felt like I was out of place. But then I also played basketball. It was like my love when I grew up was basketball. And that was pop culture at that time. I mean, you're the same age as I am, roughly. Yeah. That the pop culture became a really cool thing, and it became very hip-hoppy what basketball was. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. And I think that's probably where I also get a little bit of that from, too. Right. And I still, I still listen to my rap, too, but I've also gotten into different genres myself as I've grown up. I listen to John Mayer and stuff like that, which I always like keeping my mind open so I'm able to just not pigeonhole myself. And like you said, you're into country and you're probably into other music too that people don't even really know about.
Yeah, jazz, a lot of oldies. My mom, they grew up off the oldies and stuff. So
sure.
A lot of the oldies.
Well, what's an oldie to you? See, to me, an oldie is like 50s music.
Yeah, Yeah, my mom was born in 59. So,
okay.
Yeah, oldies, yeah.
See, I like the
Temptations. The Temptations stuff like that.
I found this band. They're called Duran Jones and the Indications. Mm-hmm. My wife's probably gonna laugh because she's probably listening to this, but they almost have like a Temptations sound to them. It's almost like a Motown sound. And they dress up in like these old suits that look like they're from the '60s. Mm-hmm. I think it's three black guys and two white guys, and they sound phenomenal. Right. It's really, if you gotta look it up, Duran Jones and the Indications, it would probably take you back to a Temptations time, right, where you'd be like, okay, and it's very smooth. And I was rocking my daughter to sleep. That's why I was listening to it. I'm like, oh, this is really good. Yeah. And I like that kind of stuff because I like, everyone makes fun of me. Right. Whenever I'm just sitting at home, I'll say, hey, Alexa, play smooth jazz. Right. And it's more of like piano music if you're at like a cocktail bar. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, it's relaxing to sometimes switch up things that you're listening to. Like for rap nowadays, back in when I was younger, I could listen to that all day long.
Right.
Nowadays, I'm like, unless I'm in the gym, I can't. It's like too exhausting.
Yeah, so you're tired, huh? There's an upbeat. The rap now is up. Yeah,
it's yeah, upbeat. And it's really crazy because I'll get to the gym at like 5:30 in the morning, and I'm like dog shit tired, and then all of a sudden I throw it. I'm like, okay, I'm up, I'm ready to go, and then all of a sudden when I'm done, I'm like, okay, that's the end. That's where it ends.
Right.
Okay. So last question then. Cool. If you had to meet one music artist other than the one that you said, who is the top? Is it 50 Cent?
It's definitely 50 Cent.
Definitely. Why 50? What? I mean, I bought his first album immediately right away.
Yeah. When I grew up as a kid, like, you know, like, I always liked him since I was a kid. But he's a mogul, but his business mind, you know, everything he do in business, you know, besides the music, he took what he did from, you know, rap and then, you know, built a legacy, you know, business. So he did a lot, you know, like successful. So that's why I like him, because he's successful in what he did. You know, like he came from just rapping, you know, but he did everything, like kind of what I do. You know, I do a lot of stuff. So he didn't put his eggs in all one basket. He's a jack of all trades. So.
That, you know, that I was expecting. That I was wondering if that was why you like him, because yes, at first he was just rap. Yeah. But then all of a sudden he became a business person.
Business person, yeah.
I would say it was like right around the mid-2000s, because I remember him and Kanye, they had their little feud and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden it was like he went into business mode.
He's in business mode.
Which is great, because you got to music, so people usually, for the most part, eventually you hit a wall and that's the end of it.
You got about 4 years. It's like high school, college. You got about 4 year run if you
good. Is it really?
Yeah, you got about 4 years. Now it's probably even shorter, probably like two now. Back then it was like four, but like, so you didn't really get that long, you know.
Yeah, and I just saw is he going to be like on Fox or something now? Yeah. He's going to be an analyst of some sort?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. Going from assuming the movie is somewhat true to accuracy, basically growing up as a gangster.
Yeah.
Going into businessman, that is kind of impressive, and it's probably not cost him his life eventually, because wasn't he shot like nine times?
Shot like nine times.
Yeah, so that
kind of like the scenario, same scenario, you know, grew up as South Chicago, growing up like that, and turning my life into what it is now. So
that's good. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I want to, first of all, I appreciate you coming on in, taking the time out of your day. And I haven't seen you in a couple of years, obviously.
Yeah, I was gone for two.
But, yeah, you're gone in Vegas for two. Yeah. But now you're starting back up here in 2026, trying to get some more gigs lined up for shows, trying to bring the production and the music studio to Winona.
Yeah,
that'll be something new for Winona.
And the entertainment center for the youth.
And the entertainment center for the youth. And you know what? There's actually a lot of good people in town to talk to do that, because I just had a guy on, I don't know if you know John Mullen, but he runs the Impact Center.
Oh, okay.
In
my
town
kids
here.
Go there a lot. My kids always go there. I think I know that guy. Yeah, my kids go there.
Yeah, tall, bald, white guy.
Yeah.
And he's a phenomenal guy. That would be a person to hook up with, because you could probably teach some of the kids there these types of things that aren't taught in school.
Right.
This is just something brand new. Yeah. So, anyways, thank you for coming on in. It's been really fun. What's that?
So thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And before we actually shut this down, can you shout out any platforms that people can find you on?
All my credentials, I just go to the website. It's www.dingygroup.com. All my socials is on the website. So everything, just hit the website up, you know. DingyGroup.com.
Sounds good. And for those who are listening or watching, I will actually put that in the show notes. All you do is just click on his website. It'll take you to anything that you want. Remember, the guy is a jack of all trades. Only a portion of what we talked about today is really kind of what you're about, but we got the party bus. We got the clothing line. We got music production. We got shows. You're a jack of all trades, and it's really kind of fun to hear all about the behind the scenes, because a lot of people go to shows and they go, huh, this is really nice, this is awesome, but they don't realize how much work you have to put in behind it.
Yeah, so I put a lot of work behind it that people don't understand. A lot of work putting it behind it, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of sacrifice. So
that's good, though. Work your ass off and think good things come.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, for those who are listening, though, this has been another episode of Brews and Cruise. If you want, please consider subscribing, liking, sharing, following, five-starring. It does help the podcast reach a whole different genre of people, because we want this to go out to the masses, because you never know who's going to come on every single week. We have many people that come on from all walks of life, and I want to thank Nikos one more time for coming on in. Cheers, bud.
Cheers, man.
And we'll see you guys next week.